Mr. Scott, pharmacist, is an able man. His abilities have earned him a profitable drugstore, a big, comfortable house, a big and comforting bank account. But at this moment, Mr. Scott is up against something tougher than he's ever faced. He's trying to block Perry Mason's determination to get the truth. And Mr. Scott is a frightened, shaken man, as in the rear of his store, his eyes skid away from Perry Mason's, find no comfort when he looks from Miss Street to Lieutenant Halverson and back to Mason again.
I suggest we don't get excited, Mr. Mason.
I suppose I am excited, Mr. Scott. I'm after a dangerous man. His associates are dangerous. I find the chase stimulating.
Dangerous man? You asked me about a young girl.
Who can lead us to the man Mr. Mason's talking about? I'm excited too, Mr. Scott.
Well, I suppose I got a bit excited myself, but it's perfectly understandable. You people came in here and delivered an ultimatum.
You're stalling again. Tell us about the girl, or...
No, not so fast, Mr. Mason. You see, what I'm about to tell you doesn't quite agree with what I said at first.
You did see the girl.
Well, as a matter of actual fact...
Let's have it, Doc.
Yes, of course. As I was saying, at first I didn't even remember. It's such a trivial matter.
You didn't remember a pretty blonde girl coming to you with a cut hand late at night when you were about to close up?
That's perfectly understandable. What was the date?
October 28th.
Oh, yes. Now, you see, I'd even forgotten the date. All right, Mr. Mason. On that particular night, a young lady did come here.
The girl we described?
She might have been.
She had a cut hand?
Yes. As a matter of fact, she did. She asked me to bandage it. Of course, I couldn't do that.
You turned her away?
Well, I had no choice. I'm not a physician. I'm a pharmacist. However, I seem to remember that she had a serious wound that needed medical attention, and I told her so. And so she turned and left, saying that she'd get another cab.
That's all you did? Doctor and turned her away.
Yes.
Mr. Scott, I believe that you were basically a good, trustworthy, kind man. I do not believe you would turn away a nice girl who was seriously injured. So I'll make a bargain with you. Now you tell us everything you said and she said, everything you learned from her and about her. Tell us freely and frankly, and you have my word that we'll do all we can to protect you. You know the alternative. The lieutenant will start hammering with everything he's got in the open. That's up to you, Mr. Scott.
That sounds fair enough, Doc.
All right, gentlemen.
Get your notebook, Della.
Right. Oh,
is she going to take notes?
Mr. Scott, it's time you trusted us. We're ready to trust you.
I know your reputation, Mr. Mason. That's the only reason I dare trust you. You'll see why. The girl came here, as you know. She had a fairly deep cut on the palm of her hand. It was bleeding heavily. She needed emergency treatment, and, of course, I gave it to her. I bathed the cut in antiseptic, bandaged it, and told her to go to a physician at once.
She give you a name and address?
Yes, a false name.
Do you know her real name?
Probably.
Well, what were you going to do about finding out her real name?
Just let him tell it, will you, Don?
Naturally, I asked her how she'd been hurt, and she told me it was a minor traffic accident. Well, of course, at first I accepted her story without question.
Now, how come you changed your mind?
The girl was afraid. Kept asking me to hurry, looking over her shoulder at the front door. Yes, she was afraid. That made me notice something about the cut in her hand. It could have been a defense wound.
A what?
Wound you get defending yourself from a knife attack? How did you know, Mr. Scott?
Well, I've read a little of criminal medicine, but even though I thought I recognized a defense wound, even though she was obviously frightened, she was so obviously well-mannered, I was reluctant to question her.
And yet you did.
Yes, sir. I asked her point blank if she'd been attacked with a knife. She changed her story of being in an accident. She admitted she'd been cut by a knife, but she said a friend, a young man, had been showing her a knife and teasing her. She said the young man had been drinking.
Had she?
Oh, no, miss. No, definitely not. I gained the impression she was a gently reared young lady. But her friend had been drinking. He was teasing her with a knife. She became annoyed, as she told me, and slapped at the knife, cutting her hand.
You believe her?
Yes. Strange as it sounds, I believe she told the truth.
She did. That is essentially what happened, with the exception that her friend was deliberately frightening her. He is the man we're after.
I guessed. He was successful, Mr. Mason. She was frightened. That was why, even though I wanted to believe her, I examined her pocketbook when she wasn't looking. I saw her driver's license. The name she'd given me was false. The name on the driver's license was Miss Suzanne Barkley.
B-A-R-K-L-E-Y?
Yes.
Address?
I don't recall.
Here we go again.
I'm telling the truth now, Lieutenant. I simply don't recall the address. I remember it wasn't this part of the city.
Was there an occupation listed?
Well, I do remember that. It was student.
Suzanne Barkley, student.
All right, Mr. Scott. Is there something else?
Proof I'm telling the truth, Mr. Mason? Yes, there is something else. I spoke to the young man who frightened and injured Miss Barkley.
Well, give, Doc.
This may not help, Lieutenant. It's all I know. You must wonder why I didn't report to the authorities. Well, I didn't because I was afraid. That young man frightened me. The night of October 28th, the night Suzanne Barkley came to me for help and I helped her, I closed the store as usual. This was shortly after she left. I started for my car, parked in the alley. When I stepped into the shadows, a man stopped me. He told me to stay perfectly still and I would not be harmed. The man had been drinking.
Did you see him?
No, it was absolutely dark. The man knew of the girl's coming to me. He also knew of the unfortunate publicity to which I referred earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He threatened me. He swore he'd see me broken, my name branded, if I ever repeated what I've just told to you. I was afraid of him. I'm not proud of myself, Mr. Mason. I was afraid. But more than afraid, I've sacrificed and worked. Worked harder than I can tell you. I could remember how nearly I lost my business through publicity and through no fault of my own.
Well, didn't you wonder about her? A nice girl mixed up with a guy like that?
I said I'm not proud of myself, Lieutenant.
You tell us anything more, Mr. Scott. Okay, let's go, Doc.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Even if you can't keep me out of it, I pray you find her. She was a nice girl. And the man who threatened me, well, I don't frighten more easily than the average man. He frightened me. I pray you find me before he finds that girl.
He didn't know where she was?
No, but he was searching for her.
At least he didn't know then. That's something.
Yeah, something. Well, I pray your prayer is answered, Mr. Scott. All right, Havilson, let's get busy.
As you know, the man who injured Sue Barkley, who frightened Mr. Scott, is named August Jansen. And as you also know, Gus Jansen has lately returned to the city to resume his association with the syndicate. Gus has been very busy since his return. He's busy now.
Just a moment.
Hello? Hello, Gordy?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Miss Vecina. It isn't Gordy.
Who says I'm disappointed? Who is it?
Well, you may not remember me, Miss Vecina. We met a couple of times, but you were with someone else. Once at the High Hat Club, once at a little party I threw at a place I used to have.
Jansen. August Jansen.
Well, you do remember.
What do you want?
Well, perhaps you don't know that I'm associated with Gordy in the nightclub. Nightclub where you're also associated with Gordy?
Did Gordy tell you to phone me?
Well, he could have. I'm kind of working for Gordy.
He told me.
I see. No, Gordy didn't tell me to phone you. I did it on my own hook.
Why?
Same old reason, Tony. It's as old as the invention of men and women.
Oh, you're lonesome. Gus Jansen, the boy the girls fall over. Now, don't tell me you're lonesome.
Not exactly, but I think you are.
What?
Lonesome for Gordy. And I also think we have certain interests in common.
Now, what's that mean?
Well, I'd be glad to tell you. Why can't I talk to you, Tony?
It's your dime.
I mean face to face. Discuss our common interests. And you're interested in Gordy.
Maybe. So?
Well, I am, too. Why don't I drop up?
Why don't you?
I'm downstairs. See you in a minute.
Hey, give a girl time to get dressed.
Well, then I'll make it a minute and a half. See you, Tony.
Gus Jansen didn't sound particularly menacing, did he? The man's dangerous. And even as Perry Mason follows the trail to him, Gus Jansen is busying himself with his own schemes and plans. All of which adds up to excitement and action for Perry Mason and for Jansen. You'll join us on Monday, won't you?